Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Intrepid reporting, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Have you wondered, like we have, what exactly is going on university campuses around the country that are supposedly experiencing revival? Perhaps you've seen the reports, the YouTube videos. People on campuses around the country are getting baptized. And we, like any born-again believer, should hope that people are actually getting saved. We want God's kingdom to expand. And yet, as we've done some sleuthing, we haven't been able to find a whole lot of content of what is going on in these campus events where there's typically a band. There's typically football players giving their testimony. There's some speaking. There's a lot more worship music. And then there's baptisms. And we would like to know what exactly is being proclaimed there. Are the kids genuinely getting saved, or is there a whole lot of manipulation going on? We want to be hopeful, but based on our sleuthing, we haven't been able to find a thing out there about what's being preached. So what did we do? We sent our very own intrepid reporter. Dalton, are you intrepid? You look more dazed than intrepid. But the point is, you went to Kentucky.
I did go to Kentucky.
Now, you didn't go just for this, but you were in Kentucky and you said, hey, I'll go to a campus and I will visit what's happening at one of these events. Correct?
Yes, that's
and that's
correct.
Precisely what you did. Dalton, you have been with us now for 15 years.
15 and a half or 4 months, you can decide.
Whichever one it is, he's been here for a bit. And you went to the University of Kentucky. And how long did you stay at the event that was called? What was the event called?
The Unite Us Movement. Unite Us, Unite US. I can never figure out which one it is. The Unite Us Movement.
Well, the S isn't capitalized, so it's us.
Yeah, it is us.
Should it be Unite We? That would have cleared up all the confusion.
Could have been Unite Them.
Unite the World.
Ooh, that's even better.
And it was at the University of Kentucky. How many kids attended this clam bake?
The estimates 7,000 to 8,000. I mean, it's a stadium.
Did you think it was 7,000 to 8,000?
I think so. It's a stadium that seats 23,000. And it was the entire lower arena was full. So it had to have been there.
So this is a big deal.
It is big.
The videos that I've seen, it's been a stage outside someplace with a few hundred people gathered around.
Well, it's crazy. This is, I think, their 12th or 13th event that they've done. And it started with 1,000 students, 2,000 students.
And it just keeps growing.
It just keeps growing.
All right. Was the gospel clearly and concisely proclaimed at this event?
Short answer, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The long answer is?
The long answer is it was weird. It was a weird
what
event.
What is that?
You laugh.
Of all the words, that's what you brought back from Kentucky.
That was the word.
All right. What was weird about it?
So I walked into it knowing a little bit about it. I think you had sent me an email several months ago saying, have you seen anything from this event?
Yeah, could you find something?
And there was no video, no audio, nothing. There were some Instagram videos that dramatic music's playing behind it. I have no idea what's going on at these things.
Right.
You can't figure out what they're saying. So we went to it and it started off. Tanya Pruitt, I think, is the founder or the visionary of this. She's the wife of the Auburn men's basketball coach. So this started on Auburn's campus.
Okay.
They had 6 or 8 college girls that were walking around campus praying for revival. Now, this is where it starts to get weird because she tells this story at the event. She's the one that first started speaking after Elevation Worship.
She was the first. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
The worship was presented by
Elevation. Well, it's Elevation Rhythm, which I guess is their B team because I've never heard of them before.
Maybe it's a knockoff. Maybe it's not even from Stephen Furtick's church.
Oh, it is. It is. Don't you worry. We found that out really quickly.
Okay. So the worship, how long did the worship go on?
The first song, I think, was 10 minutes. And there was a lot of jumping and lights. At this point, I leaned over because I tricked my wife into going with me. And I told her, I think I'm getting old because this music is way too loud. Oh, and the lights are way too bright.
Definitely a sign. But you're almost dead.
I would say the music probably lasted the first 30 minutes. It was long.
Oh, that 30 minutes. That ain't bad, honestly, because that happens at every one of these major revivals of Benny Hinn show. They'll go on for like 2 hours.
Well, there was worship. More music at the end as well.
Sure.
So they broke it up well, but it started 30 minutes and it was all elevation music.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So the first preacher was Tanya.
First person preaching, sure, was Tanya Pruitt.
All right.
So she got up there and she basically told the backstory. Now, like every good person trying to get an emotional message out, the piano was playing behind it the entire time.
Okay. All right. So we've got that manipulative element that's going on. All right. Did she share the gospel?
Negative. Did she
preach a Bible verse?
She started out with Esther 4, talking about for such
the
a time
as this.
This.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Everyone gets to name it and claim it.
Yeah.
So that's where she started out and said, this movement exists for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, backing up to the Auburn event, she apparently, and her husband has confirmed this on a podcast, had a vision from God.
Okay.
That he wanted her to unite Auburn. These are her words. You can go find it on YouTube. Unite Auburn, unite college campuses, unite the nation. This all leads to Israel. That's her big slogan. And this is how it all started out. This was a vision from God for what she was supposed to do.
Interesting. And it all roads lead to Israel.
That's what she said. And it ties back in multiple times. She didn't mention it as much when she was speaking at the event. You can find a lot more of this in her other speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always leading to Israel. And that was actually a part of the story later on.
Right. So really?
Yes. Yes, it gets even wackier and wilder. So as she's getting up and speaking, telling the backstory behind all of this, she starts telling all of these different stories from her life, what she's experienced, having a father that was a drunk and ended up abandoning them. So they had to go out and pick pecans and peaches. And again, the emotional music is playing behind there. Everyone saw kind of how this was going to end, except for the middle school girl sitting behind me. But it was just one of those. And then God did this. And then God told me this. And then God told me this over and over again. But she always said it in a way where God spoke to me, where God gave me a vision.
Cool.
Always so, the vision.
See, you should write this stuff down. We could just staple it at the end of Revelation and we've got a bigger Bible.
That's right. More visions, more revelation.
Right. All right. So she does her speech and she's preaching sort of. From Esther 4.
Oh, it wasn't preaching. It was she read the verse at the very beginning, and that was the last time she touched
but
the
that's,
Bible.
But that's standard topical preaching.
Right.
Okay. Just give me a verse and off I go. All right. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Jenny Allen. Now, I've heard of her. I haven't found a ton on her. She kind of reminds me as a more abrasive Beth Moore. That's the best way that I know to describe
it. Wow.
Yes. So traveling all around, speaking a lot to different churches, preaching, or so she says. But she comes out and her entire message begins with milk crates all around her that have the word weight and sin written on them.
Weight?
Weight and sin.
W-A-I-T or W-E-I-G-H-T?
W-E-I-G-H-T. Yeah, I'm not a speller. I'm from Kentucky.
Okay. Wait. So weight as in how heavy is it and sin?
Weight and sin.
All righty.
So the milk crates are surrounding her and her opening line is, we are here because we have seen the pain and the suffering and the difficulties that this generation has faced. And in her words, we are tired of this nonsense. We're tired of it. We're tired of the guilt and shame. And so we're here to free you from guilt and shame. And so she goes on to this spiel about how it's important to confess our sin. So at that point, I was going, maybe this could go somewhere good. And then it went off the rails. Immediately went off the rails when she said, I want you all to close your eyes and imagine Jesus is sitting in front of you.
Okay.
He's on a bench and he's sitting knee to knee with you. I want you to confess your sin to him. And so you have students that are sitting there quietly. And then she said, now shout it out. Now, what's funny is she came on a podcast immediately after this and said that the shouts were so loud, the stadium shook. I text my wife that and said, do you remember the stadium shaking? And she said, no, it was actually kind of quiet.
Okay. They were shouting out their sins?
Shouting out whatever sins they felt like they needed to shout out in this moment. Had them group up afterwards and say, now go confess your sins to one another. And this is This is where you'll get a good kick out of it. She then said, now come back to your scene with Jesus where you see him sitting in front of you. What does he look like now that you've confessed your sins? Tell me what his face is. He's happy, Jesus. Oh, you got everything under the sun. Happy, excited. Someone said he looks like my mom, which was way off the walls.
Well, you haven't seen that person's mother.
Well, okay, fair. I have not seen that person's mother, though I'm not sure I want to in this particular moment.
All right. So that was Jenny Allen's effort to get... So what was the end goal with that? It's so that if you do this, then your weight and sin is gone.
And you're free. That was it. That was the line.
All right. All right. Now, have we heard about Jesus Christ being crucified?
No.
Rising from the dead?
No.
I see. When did they have the big bonfire and throw sticks into it?
They were thinking about it later on.
Okay. Don't give them any ideas. All right. We are going to continue. Now, this isn't what I was hoping for. I was really genuinely hoping good because I've heard of the next fellow that we're going to hear about, Jonathan Pacluda.
Yes.
And I'm, all right, don't tell me. I've asked you not to give me any details until we talk about it now. You're going to share his presentation. And I'm crossing my fingers and wishing on a star that the gospel was proclaimed at the University Revival at the University of Kentucky. Something about the United States of America being united to Canada or something like that. Next on Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at FortisPlus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation. in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your source for investigative journalism. This is Wretched Radio. Since when, Friel? Well, since right now. We sent our very own intrepid Dalton Teal to Kentucky because that's your hometown.
That is correct.
It's actually a home state. But the point is, see, it's not hard to trick somebody from Kentucky. How many times have you been to the Ark? Huh?
I have been to the Ark none. None, actually.
What?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Now, I've been to the Creation Museum.
Okay, you're maybe half saved. You've done an altar call, but not sure that you're actually regenerated. Dalton Teal is the voice that you're hearing besides mine and Jimmy's, who was sent on a trip to Kentucky to visit the University of Kentucky because there was a revival scheduled because the Holy Spirit is very busy.
That's right.
You've got to get on his calendar. So there's this revival movement that is happening around the country, and we could not find anything about it online. So you were in Kentucky, and you decided to go to this event that had a large attendance of, you estimate, 7,000 people that came to this event where supposedly people are getting saved. And we truly want it to be genuine. We want these people who are having some sort of religious experience on campuses around the country to be genuine conversions. You sat through the, did you sit through the entire thing?
The entire thing, 7:30 to about midnight.
Bless your heart. Man, that's like, you need casualty pay or something for that.
I need another nap.
Because it was long. And out of the give or take 4 hours, 5 hours, how much of it was music?
Probably an hour. I would say about an hour of music.
So most of it, though, was talking.
There was a lot of talking. And then, well, part of it built into that is actually baptisms, which we can get to towards the end of it. But they did baptisms outside for quite some time.
All right. So we're hoping that those people actually got saved. But what is key for any sort of revival is not worship. It's not wait and sin, milk carton containers, or whatever it was that the last speaker did. It's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, opening up the word and proclaiming the word of God so that people can understand their sin, God's character and nature, what they deserve, what Jesus did for them, and how they must respond. We're hoping, because we have not heard it yet from the aforementioned speakers, that when Jonathan Pakluda is going to bring the gospel. Was he the keynoter? Was he the big closer?
He was the big closer.
Did he preach the gospel?
Yes, he did.
All right.
Yes, he did.
All right. That's a good thing.
It is a very good thing because at a certain point, after Jenny Allen had declared that all of their sins had been forgiven and they were right with God, why she can declare that, I'm not sure. But after she declared that and after Tanya Pruitt, I leaned over and said, I'm not sure that this can get any better. I mean, this is about as bad as I thought it could get.
Because there was nothing about Jesus and sins and blood being shed. Repentance?
No repentance.
Okie dokie then. Trusting in Jesus Christ?
There was mention of you need to trust in Jesus, but
all right.
What about him?
Right.
What are you trusting about him?
Sure. Okay, so it was kind of sprinkled throughout. So Jonathan Pakluda gets up to close the show. Was he solid?
I'm going to go with yes. So,
all right.
I
was hoping that because I don't know Jonathan, but I've seen some of his videos before. And what I've seen, while it isn't my particular stripe of preaching, what I saw was sound.
Yes. And that's one of the things that I found coming out of this. Jimmy and I actually had a conversation about it. He runs around in some interesting crowds. So he was down at Passion a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
For that event. He's running around in this crowd as well. And after hearing his sermon, I thought, why is he with these people?
Oh, he was that different.
It was that
good.
Different. Now I think he could be on the Preachers and Sneakers page. He had some really cool clothes and some really cool shoes.
Sure.
But it's a college event. I wasn't necessarily surprised by that. And when he walked out, he started telling a story about being half in on Christianity.
Okay.
Having one foot in the world, one foot in Christianity. And I thought, you know, I could see where this is going. But about a third of the way through, he gets to Luke chapter 18 with the story of the rich young ruler, and he just begins to exposit it.
Nice.
A full exposition of Luke 18 going to, are you holding on to your sin? Are you holding on to the things of the world that you love and you refuse to let go to? And I paused about right there and thought, this could go one of two directions. This could be the worldly hey, you should just trust Jesus. You should let go of everything, and then some sort of emotional response. Or he could just dig down into the gospel. He chose to dig down into the gospel.
Nice.
And he made the comment, if you've never heard the gospel, this is what it is.
Good.
And proceeds to lay out for, I would say, about 10 to 15 minutes, the depths of the gospel.
Well, that's awesome, dude.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful because he began with, this is who God is. This is how he is so much bigger than you could ever imagine or comprehend. He is perfect and glorious and powerful, and we are sinners. And he goes through and explains what sin is, goes to Romans 3, Romans 6, talks about what the wages of sin is, how we cannot do enough good works. He said, if you're planning on going to God and saying, look at all the good that I have done, you will pay for your sins and you will pay for it in eternity in hell. I mean, he came out swinging.
Good. Well, see, swinging, it's like, that's our bread and butter.
It is.
We shouldn't miss that one. Great. And then did he do some sort of Jesus died for your sins?
He did.
Atonement?
He did.
Justification?
He did.
Adoption?
He did.
No way.
You have been brought into the family of God.
That's excellent to hear.
It was wonderful.
All right. So now he's kind of done a little damage control on some of the other shenanigans that were going on there.
A lot of damage control.
All right. Excellent. So how long did he preach?
I would say 30, 35 minutes.
All right. He finishes. What was the next step?
Well, the very end of it, he actually gets to an altar call, which I wasn't surprised by that. And you probably had 1,500 students trying to walk down to the stage.
Ryan.
And give their life to Christ, or at least that was the messaging. If you want to receive Christ today, please come forward. And he led them in the sinner's prayer. So not my style. I don't love that part.
That's right. People have been saved.
Yes.
But I don't think because of, it's almost despite those tactics that are relatively recent inventions. But nevertheless, 1,500 people heard the gospel, apparently responded. Do you think that it was so clear that they would, if they were listening, actually paying attention, they heard the gospel and their response could be genuine?
I would imagine many were genuine. No, not 1,500 students, more than likely.
Ryan.
But there were several in that group that, I mean, the word of God is living and active. The gospel has the power to save us. And I believe it was clearly proclaimed. And we can rejoice in that.
Yeah, I want to.
Yes.
But it's the other packaging that...
That's where I struggled. Because it was visions and stories about feeling good about ourselves. And then it just shifts to the gospel. Now, towards the very end of it, this is one of the things that I was genuinely impressed with. Because like you, I walked into it wanting the best, hoping the best, hoping that the gospel would be proclaimed and the local church would be emphasized. So when we walked in, mind you, this was a free event. They didn't charge anything except for the $27 for parking. That was absurd.
Wow.
Yeah, but the tickets were free. And you walked in the door, people were welcoming you, and they had booths set up from local churches in the area. Pastors, church members were engaging with college students as they walked in.
That's a good thing. Now, tell me about those churches.
I didn't get much on the local churches because as soon as we arrived, for some reason, they started packing up and moving somewhere else. So I couldn't track them down. But essentially, they came into town a couple of days before and started engaging with all the local churches they could get in contact with.
Sure.
And said, we're hosting this event. We want these students to get plugged in with you.
That's also good.
So Pakluta, at the very end of it, to his credit, said, we are not about just showing up and then leaving after we preach the gospel. We want you to be discipled. We want you to be plugged into the local church. So here's what's going to happen. And they popped up a QR code on the screen. They had them scan it. And it said, would you like to be reached out to? Would you like more information on a local church in the area, a college ministry? Please let us know. And we will have pastors
that
engage.
Got to tell you, that's a big tell. Because if you take a look at the statistics from other of these big events that have taken place historically, the follow-up rate has been staggeringly disappointing. The number of people who make some sort of profession or walk the aisle who then can be found in a local church after the crusade, it's 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them plugged in, crucial. Let's hope that a lot of them did. All right, quickly, Dalton, baptisms. How many people were baptized?
The estimates were 1,000 to 1,500. I mean, they were saying a lot of people climbed into the baptismals. Now, you couldn't see much, and we ended up pulling back after a little while trying to figure out where it was, because it wasn't in the same event space.
Mm.
You had to navigate your way over to it. But they said there's pastors from different churches and people that were in four different baptismal pools baptizing people, and a great number were baptized that day, according to their statistics.
All right. We hope so.
We do.
And we hope that they were genuinely saved. And we would also hope that maybe Jonathan Pakluta would have a little more influence over the event.
Yes.
Because there was a fair amount of glop that was inserted.
And I will say, I think one of the reasons why they're not posting anything from this is it's the same thing over and over again. They had mentioned, one of the speakers had mentioned, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but our set, the way that we do this is XYZ. So it seems like it's
they got it down.
Cut and paste. They've got it down.
You know what? Even if it is cut and paste, if the word of God was actually being proclaimed, the gospel was heard. Let's really pray and hope that kids are actually getting saved at these air quote revivals on university campuses. Dalton Teal, well done.
Thank you, sir.
We'll get your hazard pay.
Good.
Settled up immediately. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.